Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder of Impact Vest, and along with our guest host, we aim to inspire and motivate towards collective positive global impact to solve our world's most pressing challenges in sustainability. With each episode, we will engage in insightful conversations with global changemakers, visionaries, and sustainability activists who wish to build a more sustainable and resilient future. Join us now as we create the future of impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to our Impact Vest podcast. I am Tanya Love Lamort, the Managing Director of the Impact Vest Alliance. And for today's podcast, I have the pleasure of being joined by Scott Duhart. He is the founder of Heart IT Solutions. Scott, will you introduce yourself?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me, first and foremost. Heart IT Solutions, that's my baby. I have a background in IT. I'll give a little bit more small background. After the military, I was debating what I want to do. Either I always loved law enforcement and I always loved computers. So I got a chance to fulfill both of my dreams. After the military, I became a police officer for a little bit, serving my community. And after the police officer, I was like, what do I want to do? I said, I guess technology is constantly changing and growing. So I started school and got a bachelor's degree in IT. And roughly about 2011, I was working as a work study. And so a guy came in and said, hey, I need to hire a few people to work on base doing some IT work. He ended up texting me saying, hey, you seem like a pretty nice guy and pretty chill. You want a job? I'm like, what's the job? He's like, well, it's pulling cables and installing access points. I knew what cables was. I knew what access points was, but I'd never done the work. And again, I'm in college right now. So I'm like, man, this is perfect opportunity for me to kill two birds with one stone, get experience and actually make more money than what I was making at work study. So we talked a little bit, and 2 weeks later, I'm working on base, doubling my money than what I was making at work study. So I learned how to pull a cable, and I did this for almost a year and a half. And after the project was over, he offered me another work study position, actually working on base. It's roughly now 2014, 2015. I ran into a college, some random guy. He did IT. And he told me a website that hired freelancers. I went onto the website, and from there, I just took off. I didn't think I was going to never get to where I'm at today, because that wasn't the goal, to grow. And I'm grown where I'm covering Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida currently, and Texas. So that's not the vision I envisioned. It's just it literally happened so fast over the past few years of growth. And so what we actually do, per se, because I know it's going to be the next question.
Yeah, of course.
So we're into network infrastructure. Wherever you see Wi-Fi located, I actually know how to install the Wi-Fi and pull the cables and actually install the network. Not only do I do Wi-Fi, we do troubleshooting with cameras. We install fiber. Like I say, anything network related. We make everything work on the back end. So a lot of my stuff is behind the scenes work, which I love. But some of the stuff is front end, which is the Wi-Fi. As soon as the Wi-Fi goes down, Well, we're getting calls. I work with some of the smallest companies to some of the biggest companies. I'll be in Colorado at a popular stadium, football stadium in Colorado in the next few weeks, doing some work for online, one of the biggest online retailers. So
Okay.
we do everything. I'll be doing the camera installation and infrastructure install for them. So
So I want to go back to your earlier point because you said a lot. I want to kind of unpackage some of it and hone in some of these key points. First was the inspiration behind how you got started. Talk about connections and being at the right place at the right time, but it was also in line with what you wanted to do because you were already in school for it. But just peeling that onion back a little bit, being a veteran, so I want to focus on this key theme, being a veteran yourself and someone else paying it forward to another veteran. There's so much into that because there's a need to support our veterans. How did it inspire you to go into this IT field, not just the money behind it, but knowing that you were initially helping veterans like yourself. And thank you so much for your service, by the way, because we really need that. So, how did that inspire you to want to start and then go beyond to some of the bigger companies like you're working with now?
Like I said, it was by the grace of God first and foremost. Because, like I said, I never my thought process, I can handle X, Y, and Z by myself and be here and take care of me. And that was the thought process behind it. But like you said, the connections. Right. It's like I said, it's a freelancer website. Anybody can find it. You just post random jobs for freelancers to do. You see a job, apply for it. You feel like you can do it. And from there, I literally started. I took one or two jobs, and then one company literally called me and said, "Hey, you've been doing the same scope of work. I got another project starting up that's a little bit bigger than this. We require some traveling, but hey, we can pay you X, Y, and Z." And I'm thinking to myself, "You was paying me this on the platform, and now you want to pay me this?" So it was like a $5 to $10 difference. And so I said, "Sure, I'll do it." And from there, it's like, "Hey, do you have a 1099? Are you a 1099? Are you a contractor, or you want to use your social security number?" And I was like, that's when the light bulb went off. I need to start a business. And this is roughly about 2015, because I was just doing everything under my social. I'm like, okay, I can start a business now because I'm starting to make more money, and I see that this website has been very profitable to me. So I met with this company, and like I said, they just started sending me work, weekly work, where to the point where I travel for 6 months out of the year. And as soon as that project ended, she said, "Hey, in a month, I got another project starting up." And they said, "We're gonna give you more money because we want you to be a team lead." And I'm like, "This is getting better by the
Better and better
better
every
and
time you
better."
keep
So it was
going.
like I'm headed in the right direction because I see, like I said, technology is always changing. It literally just started just growing, growing, growing. And then it got to the point, as I mentioned, I was a team lead for them. I wasn't a W-2 employee. I was still a contractor, but they wanted me to lead the teams. They would say, "Hey, we're bringing on people. You'll be in DC, and here's your two helpers that will help you tonight. But now we need you to lead 20 to 30 people." So, and from meeting those 20 to 30 people, I started meeting connections of different people that I work with on an all the time basis. And so from there, after the project slowed down, I was still on the website. I said, "Let me build my website and let me started looking for my own. Let me start looking for my own contracts." And from there, one of my very first clients was based out of Cincinnati. On the business side, the back end side, they deal with a lot of infrastructure. And so my very first meeting, I met with them. Literally my first job, they sent a spreadsheet of almost 200 stores. Big, like it's a big company that had, like I said, a lot of stores nationwide. Now it blew my mind because I'm like, I don't have Texas. I don't have these places. I cover the Southeast, which is mostly Georgia. So as soon as I saw that spreadsheet, I picked up the phone because I made connections on these larger jobs. So I called a guy in Florida and said, "Hey man, I got so many sites, I can't do them all. I can't be in Florida and Georgia at the same time." He's like, "Hey, Scott, come on, he says, "Bring me on. I got your back." He says, "I got two guys that you can use here as well." So he got a total of three people now that can cover Florida. I'm like, perfect. And then I made a few phone calls in Georgia, technicians that work with me. "Oh, Scott, we'll help you out. We'll take care of you." So now I'm up to like six guys just like that. So, and this is 2017 when this happened. So this is when the light bulb went off that I needed to expand.
Well, that's leading into my next question about your expansion. So you started with just taking contracts yourself, and you saw, okay, I need to stop and create my company, which you did. So I commend you on that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And then you started getting more projects than one person could handle. And then you went from there and started expanding. As you started to scale, what were some of the things that you wish you had known when you started that you can share with our listening
That's
audiences?
easy.
Oh, tell us, we want to know.
It's all about the money. The money. Some of these companies, you're net 30, which means it takes you 30 days to get paid from a lot of these companies. So you're doing projects. You're doing, let's say you're doing five jobs a day at an average cost of your payout of $500 a day. You do that 2 weeks in a row and you're at five, that's 25. You're at $5,000 in 2 weeks for one person or within payroll. So I didn't know the complexity of payroll. I didn't know the capital that was needed to be saved up in that fast of expansion. So that was a growing pain between me and Alexis there. I can honestly say I knew that bothered her. Like, bro, you got so many of these jobs coming in. The money's coming in, but the money is not there yet to support. So it was a lot of that was the growing pains. Very, very. Other than that, the people that I the guys that I had, they were very understanding. I'm like, hey man, you're gonna get paid. You're just not getting paid today. So some of them started understanding. Some of the guys that were at a lower rate, they were fine. I was able to cover, but growing so fast, it was literally growth at too fast. That's what it honestly was, because like I said, it got dropped into my lap. And I did have one thing I want to mention. Inspiration to even starting a business. My dad owns his own business. He's a carpet and floor care contractor. So I watched him over the years. I started learning how to. I started cleaning at the age of probably six, learning how to pull trash. So I started working at a very young age, just pulling trash at a little office building. He's taught me how to do that. And by the time I was 12, 13, I was buffing floors. So I had a very work ethic at very young age and had a lot of knowledge of things that most people my age didn't have. So even today, if my dad have a large project and he say, hey, I got some floors that need to strip and wax, do you want in? I'm like, of course I want in. That was my first passion, actually doing floor work with him. He doesn't know this and I would never tell him that is my passion. The floor work is easy, it's so simple. And I enjoy it though behind the scenes, but he inspired me watching him over the years, knowing that he's been in business. I'm 42 years old, so he's been in business every bit of 45 plus years now.
And it's amazing that your dad inspired you and instilled in you the work ethic that you do have. But I've always said when you're doing something that's your passion, it's not really
It's not
work.
work.
And when you mention, he doesn't know, but I enjoyed doing it because it was your passion. You wanted to be an entrepreneur, you wanted to start. And with me leading our Impact Vest Alliance, we have so many different startup companies. And that's why I asked you the question, what is it that you wish you had known before you started? Because we have this supportive ecosystem and we want each other to kind of provide those inside information and insights to help everyone be able to achieve. Because starting a company, it's a rocky start, but once you get
Yes.
going, as you saw, and you begin to scale, it will happen and it will come, but it just takes time. It takes perseverance,
It
a
does.
lot of perseverance
It
to
does.
keep going.
It's been times where early on in that 2017, 2018 phase, when I seen a $15,000 payroll and I'm scratching my head, like, what am I doing? I can just keep all that money. What am I doing? So it's been times where we even talked and said, hey, maybe we just scale it all the way back and shut it down and build the capital up. But things happen so where things happen where it didn't have to happen like that. So like I said, it's the perseverance and the drive and determination to succeed. It's one of those things like failure is not an option at this point. Failure has never been a part of things that I do. My pastor says all the time, work in the spirit of excellence. Like things that you do it. It doesn't matter if it's something small or something big. Like, I don't do things to get honor and glory. I just do things the best of my ability. I know that's why I have repeat clients and customers call me and text me every day saying, hey, we need you to do work because of the work we provide. And even my guys even know, hey, you literally got one shot every day, because if you go in there and jack something up, they know it's going to be a problem. So even
Exactly.
my team knows hey, let's do it to the best of our ability. If you got an issue, give me a call. So, but got to
And the
persevere.
best marketing is by word of mouth. So
Word of
when you
mouth.
have others talking about the good work you're doing, you know it's good when they're telling other people about it and you're able to scale as fast as you did. So, Scott, let me ask you another question. So, since you're growing, you're scaling, you're supporting multiple states across the country, exactly how many employees do you have on hand right now? And part two of that question is, how do you train them? What does development look like for them so that they are and maintain relevant and skilled employees?
How big is the team? I think on paper, we're about 13 to 15 guys in on paper. I have some helpers that literally just help from time to time. But Georgia, Florida, Texas, in the process of Colorado, and Tennessee, those are all the states we cover currently. I pretty much give my, it's general knowledge for all my guys. Hey, we're going to cover an hour out from the home office. Or an hour from your place of residence. So that's a given. But some of my guys in Georgia, we actually drive to Chattanooga, which is more than like roughly 2 hours away. So it's given, but I always give my guys the opportunity. My assistant, she says, hey.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's a job here in Chattanooga. Do you want to do it? Yes or no? And it's one of those things where we do turn down work as well. I mean, if nobody wants to go, I don't force my guys or teammates to go anywhere they really don't want to drive to because traffic in Atlanta. But I know you had a two-part question. Training new technicians. So I'm in a digital signage space as well. So network infrastructure is the bread and butter, but digital signage has crept into the scope of works on some of the jobs, and we've taken that on digital signage. So it's a lot of marketing and media players and TVs displays. So mounting TVs and a doctor's office wall boards is like an oversized tablet. So to answer your question about new technicians, I do have a teammate that trains the new guys that's coming onto the digital signage world. For us hospitality, I actually have a teammate that trains people into hospitality as well. Hospitality doing the cabling and the Wi-Fi. So I do have team members that take on new people and train them under their belt. I personally haven't trained anybody lately because of trying to get to $1 million company and run $1 million company. But no, I haven't done any training, but there is a process in place.
And Scott, as a follow-up to your training response and question, because it's so important, how do you stay relevant? You talked about how technology is always changing. How do you stay ahead of the curve so that you understand the changes in the technologies and those that are working with you are able to, provide your clients and your customers with the services that they need?
I can't remember which president it was. I don't know if it was Truman or who it was. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but one president had people smarter than him surrounded in different categories and different areas of expertise. And he would call that person and get their professional opinion. I have people around me that have expertise in certain areas, some areas that I'm not even knowledgeable in at all. So on the networking component, so we have layers of networking. We call it, it's pretty much different implementations on networking about troubleshooting networks. I understand most of the levels up to a certain point. The part I don't understand is the back end, which is there's coding. You're an engineer, so there's actually scripts that you lay on switches. I don't know how to write codes, but guess what? I got colleagues of mine that know how to write code. So I stay up to the trend by looking at different certifications that are out there. And as soon as I get back from Colorado, I'm actually going to make sure I learn how to write code. So now I'll be knowledgeable in that area. Well, not write code, but write scripts. I'm constantly looking at just the different certs that are out there and what's evolving. Quarterly, I'll probably go online and see what's the latest and greatest certification or see what's the next cert even coming out. And when I'll look at the certification and I'll read the synopsis on it. What is it going to help me with? And then I'll take that certification and you say, okay, I can see myself heading the business in that direction, or I can see this is something that I don't want the business to do. So, but I do
Right.
have colleagues that are very, very knowledgeable in certain areas.
So I understand from your response that you're doing peer-to-peer training because you are taking on projects and it's like you're training real time
Oh,
as
yes,
you
it's
do
been real time.
peer-to-peer training. And then you're doing your own outside of work, your own one-on-one training as well as those that work for you. And definitely the peer-to-peer, when you're doing it real time, you have to do it. That is the best type of training because you're learning from someone who's already done it.
I love the peer-to-peer training because it lets me know who I have. I
Exactly.
can gauge in the first 30 minutes of working somebody whether they can grasp or not. It's either going to be an X or no. It's going to be an X or yes. And
Okay.
that's a skill that I gained while traveling for other companies or while doing work for other companies, leading these large teams. They would actually send me to the point where I was the trainer as well. I would train new lead technicians, and they'll say, "Hey, Scott, vet this person. Let us know yes or no." And I'll tell them in a heartbeat, no or yes. And if I gave them a no, that person would be strictly a helper. They would never lead a team because I knew for a fact they didn't have the capabilities. I shouldn't have to repeat. If you're in IT, everyone in IT doesn't know everything in IT. But if
Right.
you're saying that you know how to do desktop support, you should understand how to plug a USB keyboard and a USB mouse into the back of the PC. And if you don't understand that, it's a no-brainer.
Right. So you don't have to know everything, but you
No,
have to
no.
be continuously learning in order to be a team lead. So I understand that. And how do you measure success, Scott? Besides from the jobs coming in, when you think about your team and those that you have around you, because you said you have very smart people around you, how did you get them? How do you say, hey, I got a really good team. This is how I measure the success of the team that's built around me.
That's a good question. Everyone that's around me currently, I've either met through me working directly with them hand in hand, or they've been referred to me from another contractor to say, "Hey, man, I got somebody solid. They've been looking for work." And we built connections from there. My longest person's been with me like 4 or 5 years now. So they've been with me from almost the start. So actually, no longer than that. Yeah, the 2018, 2019, I probably met this one person, but most of my guys, they stuck with me. The how do I measure success part? Whew, that's a tough one there. You know what is it's that's a tough question because in my world, the world that I'm in currently, the hospitality, for example, as long as I'm not getting any complaints about the site per se, we're running a successful site. If I'm getting complaints or getting calls that the team isn't doing what they need to be doing, we can say that's a failure. But if I'm not getting a negative call, we've had a good day. And we get even, for example, in the digital signage world, I get negative calls. Not a lot because of per se what was going on with the person on site. But for example,
Right.
we had a gas station, a popular gas station, and we had to replace screens. But the screens were over the drink machines on a counter. The only way to
Oh.
get to the drink machines is standing on the counter. So one, they supposedly said that we broke the counter,
Oh.
which we'll take that on the chin because it's a hazard on the job. There was no other way.
Okay.
And you couldn't even put a ladder nowhere in the general vicinity to get to there's not to avoid stepping on the counter. But not to mention, they say that we damaged the TV while putting the new display up. So that was a failure. But at the same time, even though it was a failure, it was something to learn on my end as well, because I never thought about, hey, there's a counter we might need to step on, and hey, there's a possibility the client might say we broke the counter. So now
Right.
I avoid that whole store completely. I'd rather lose the money to not, because the cost is It was a very, very costly damage. So
Right.
that was my very first insurance claim. And it was one of those things like, hey, the light, it was a learning experience. It was a learning experience for
Right.
the technician, a learning experience for me as a business owner.
And that's one thing that I've heard from other entrepreneurs, like in our alliance. There's no, failure per se, because you're always learning from that. So how can you call it a failure if it's a learning
Learn.
experience that you use and you never repeated it? And from what I'm hearing from you, all of those around you are a measurement of your success as well, because there's peer-to-peer learning that you're able to do. And you being such a team lead and a trainer and the founder, you're able to vet as well as train. So you are able to receive as well as give direction. And that to me is what I call a servant leader. You can lead, but there are times even when the leader needs to learn, and that continuous learning is very important. So I wanted to see, how do you measure your impact that you're making for these small and large businesses?
How do I measure my impact? The volume I receive from that company.
Okay, that's a good way.
My assistant, I have an assistant, and she's taking a major load off my plate because at one point in time, I was the one, I'll be in the field, but I also get the calls, hey, we need a technician here, or hey, we need a technician there. Oh, hey, we need to go back to the site last week. And I would literally, at the end of the day, whether I get home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or whether I get home at 9 o'clock at night, I'm about to start going over the schedule for the next day, or for all those guys that text me and call me, letting them know the availability. So that was very tiresome. But now I have someone who handles day to day almost for me. So yeah, the volume that I receive from a client per se, that's a measurement. I even had a week where they didn't call me at all, and I didn't reach out to them to say, hey, is the slow workload or what it was. But the very next week, they're blowing me back up. So I know that there's seasons in this work that we're in. And I tell all my guys, hey, save all your money comes because November, December, those are times that most companies say, hey, we're putting a halt to the projects as the holiday time. And nobody really wants to work harder than they've been working, or they're ready to relax for the year. So these little things like that, I'm learning, like, we're going to run hard to November.
Right.
Save your money, and we run hard to November. So I typically slow it down, but we do some, we call it break fix. Something's broken, needs to be fixed. We'll do some break fix tickets, but no full installs roughly around that time.
Okay. And what do you see as the future direction for Heart IT Solutions? Do you want to continue to scale?
I want to be able to have at least 4 to 5 guys solid in those areas. So I would like to bring on more personnel. I'm not going to say I want to scale even further. I would just like to scale internally to the point where I have reliable techs. I want to get up to roughly 20 guys where I can say every 20 person teammate of mine are all skillful in the same areas, same or more areas. I don't want to just say, oh, I got a helper I can send, but I want to say I got 20 skillful guys. Guys and gals. I have a few ladies on my team as well. But I want to be able to say everyone's skillful in the same areas. So I do have some technicians that can do fiber. I have technicians that can't do fiber. I actually taught myself how to do fiber. I want everyone to be skillful on the same playing field. That way, when there is a job that comes available, I can literally just call out a name and anybody can go because everyone's skillful. So I want to invest more into my guys' training. More hands-on, but more some of the book knowledge as well, some of the certifications. So that is a goal of mine to in the scaling process, just to have them all squared away. Because I tell guys in a heartbeat, I don't want to hold you back. If you see that you're doing great and you're doing good, and I've taught you things you need to learn or know, and you feel like you can go start your own business, start your own business. I'm gonna be right there to push you. I'm not a hater. I'm gonna push you because I had people push me per se, but I didn't have anybody to hold my hand in the IT business. So, but
You had to figure it out on
I
your
figured it
own.
out. Yep.
And
I had to figure it out with Alexis. That's who helped me figure it out, I guess.
that's important, because I know you mentioned before that you're a serial entrepreneur, and that's a good trait to have. You just something you don't know, you go figure it out. And the fact that you want all of your employees cross-trained, you want them to be able to do multiple things. That's part of your future direction to make sure that the skill set remains relevant. And that is so critical and so important. Is there anything you want to share that I didn't ask as a closing comment about Heart IT Solutions?
We cover all network needs. Like I said, we work for some people say, man, we're too small. There's no client too small because everyone's need is different. So we support everybody. We're getting to the point now where I believe I'm there now where I'm gonna go take on the state and federal government contract. So that's next phase of life. That is next phase.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott. It has been a pleasure talking to you, learning about Heart IT Solutions, how you were inspired through your father, work ethic, and that instilled in you this desire after leaving the military to start your own company. And it is so important to see how one seed can grow into this full plant, and now you have other employees working with you. So you have a whole forest now. So it's good to see good work and companies that are in need. And you're not only just one company that's serving your community and serving your clients, you're serving them well because you're getting the constant requests for new and new jobs that are coming your way. So I wish you all the best. I'm
Thank
so happy to hear about your inspiration and everything that you've been able to accomplish up until this point. So thank you. I'm truly inspired by all the work that you've done,
you. No,
and
thank
it's been a
you.
pleasure talking to you today.
Likewise.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the ImpactVest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. Join us next week for another episode and become part of our ImpactVest newsletter community, where you will receive all of the latest updates about our work in this new era of innovative impact finance. See you next week as we create the future of finance at ImpactVest.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.